This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm with Matteo Lunelli. How are you, Matteo?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. You're the president of Ferrari Wines and also the Lunelli Group as well. So we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the sparkling wines you guys make. You're in Trentino, which is sort of northern part of Italy in the hills. You described it last week as mountain wines. But what we're going to do today is we're going to talk a bit about the sparkling wines you produce there and also maybe compare and contrast it to Prosecco, which I know your group also makes some Proseccos as well.
Correct.
In fact, I think, what's the brand that you use in Prosecco?
We own Bisola, which is a great brand of Prosecco Superiore from Valdobbiadene.
Yeah, because we actually use Bisola in our tastings. It's our sort of, we use it as a sort of a reception wine or something like that quite a bit.
Thank you. I mean, Bisola and Gio, these two brands, which belongs to our winery.
Yeah, tell me, because I always call it Bisola Gio, but it's
Actually, we have two lines, two collections. The Bisola collection in the winery, which is dedicated to each Prosecco of Bisola represents one single shade of a Prosecco Superiore, because we try to make each label of Bisola coming from, we make that with grapes coming from a very specific soil and terroir from the Valdobbiadene area. While Gio is usually is more about cuvées, more about blending different terroirs of the Valdobbiadene region, and it's more of the, with Gio we represent more the joyful side of Prosecco.
Okay.
So we use two different brands in our winery. Gio was the nickname of Desiderio Bisola, which was one of the ancestors of my friends and my Gianluca and Desiderio Bisola. And Gio is a pretty well known, I think, in the UK.
Both of them have got a good representation.
And so these are basically two collections that complement one each other.
Okay.
And that represents two different approach in telling the in representing the area of Valdobbiadene and the tradition of Prosecco Superiore. I always underline Prosecco Superiore because we produce only DOCG, which is really the heart and the most vocated region on the Prosecco.
But Superiore just normally means 1% higher alcohol, typically, is...
No, actually, Superiore in the sense that it's really the higher end of the Prosecco production, and it's the DOCG, which comes... You know, you can produce Prosecco in a very large area, which is the DOC, the DOC, but then there is a smaller part, which is DOCG, which is the area of Valdobbiadene. If you think...
And Colliano.
You know, Valdobbiadene and Conegliano, absolutely. If you think there is a production of Prosecco of over 500 million bottles, of this, you know, around 10% is a Prosecco Superiore. Actually, a little bit more. It's actually 90 million bottles are Prosecco Superiore, but it's a smaller portion. Okay. But that's the region of Prosecco, where Prosecco was born. And, you know, especially Bisola is there since very long time.
So just to clarify, because normally the original region of a region is called Classico.
Yeah.
In Italy, but you call it, is it just you guys calling it Superiore? Because normally Superiore...
No, the denomination is Valdobbiadene, Conegliano, Prosecco Superiore, DOCG.
Okay.
That's only for the area of Valdobbiadene and Conegliano, which is like the classic region of Prosecco.
Yeah.
And then the Prosecco DOC is all the rest, which is a much larger area. In Valdobbiadene and Conegliano, we have steep hills that we cultivate.
They're limestone as well, aren't they? Well,
yeah, but it's a very unique terroir compared to instead the area of the DOC, which is much larger, and it goes into the flatland of Veneto.
In fact, the flatter area was expanded about 8-10 years ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
Which is probably a good thing, given the incredible rise of Prosecco sales.
Prosecco is rising and growing. I think these are two different wines, you know. Certainly, DOCG is where you get the real high style of Prosecco, and it's the finest Prosecco, for sure. And this is where Bisola wants to be focused.
Okay.
And this is where Bisola was born and was founded. You know, there is a document that dates back to 1542, so over 500 years ago, there is a very old document that testified that the Bisola family was nursing vines in the area of Santo Stefano di Valdobbiadene. so centuries ago. And this tells you how Bizol has a very long history and tradition in that area.
Okay. But not making sparkling wines because the Charmant method or the Tank method.
That's a good point.
Is only, 150 years old?
That's much younger. They were, they were rooted in the area since a long time.
Okay. Oh, one quick, this is a little bit mean question, but there's a town called Prosecco, and it's miles and miles in a completely different county or department or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I normally don't think that they can make Prosecco there. But I've seen a map that included the town that said it was part of this massive Prosecco region. And that, if it is the case, then the Prosecco region covers most of Veneto.
it's a huge area. Honestly, it was also a way to demonstrate, including the town of Prosecco was very important also because it allowed also to make sure that the Prosecco is a denomination and is a style of wine which is not replicated otherwise.
I know the story. I found it very shifty when the Italians did that, because the grape was called Prosecco, and that was all fine. EU can't protect a grape.
But on the other side, you should also consider that really, this Prosecco is something uniquely Italian because it's part of a very unique tradition. It's part of this terroir anyway. So it's a wine that has very long-term roots in the Italian soil, which is the same thing about, we don't want to call, Ferrari a champagne because we are not champagne. We don't want to be champagne.
No, I know. But just to clarify, if I'm in the town of Prosecco, can I make a wine and label it Prosecco?
Yes.
You can. Okay. Because most of the maps you see of Prosecco show, Val di Bardone, Collignano, and then an area around
that's, it. You cannot do, the DOCG do not include the town of Prosecco.
No, that's fine.
But you can do Prosecco DOC in the Prosecco, in close to the town of Prosecco.
Which means that makes Prosecco technically about 150, 200 kilometers long.
Oh, yeah, it's a large area. If you think 500 million bottles, at the end, but, Champagne is 300 and something million, so it's not too much smaller.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a wee bit about the sparkling wines coming from Trentino.
Okay.
Now, the big difference between Prosecco and Trentino that I understand, apart from maybe grape varieties, because Prosecco uses Glera, or used to be called Prosecco, but we'll call it Glera now, is they use the Charmant or Tank method production, whereas you guys use traditional method, is that right?
Yes. So in Trentino, we create Trento DOC. Trento DOC is the denomination, and Trento DOC is a mountain sparkling wine made with the traditional method, so it's bottle fermented. Mm-hmm. So in Ferrari is a Trento DOC and it's not a Prosecco. We are made with, we are made only with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir grapes, while Prosecco is made with Glera. And as you mentioned, we are bottle fermented. So the Metodo Classico is a method which in France they call Maître Champenoise, or internationally it's called traditional method, which implies that the second fermentation happens in the bottle, and then the wine aged long time on the lees. So it's a very different method, definitely very different terroir, very different grape variety from Prosecco. And that's why I really underline the fact that these are very two different wines.
Oh, yeah.
Just
before you get too far, I just want to explain to the listeners, because we've covered traditional method before, but just very, very quickly, when he's talking about secondary fermentation, you get your still wine, you put some yeast in it, put a cork in the end, let the bottle do a fermentation with the second yeast, creates the bubbles in the wine. The yeast runs out of food, dies, sinks to the bottom. The wine lies on the dead yeast, picks up some sort of bready, biscuity flavors, and then they go through a process to remove it. So the key thing for me is Trentino wines, they taste, how would you describe the taste versus Prosecco?
It's radically different. And, people, usually wine lovers and consumer tend to understand better the fact that in still wines, there are many different wines in different regions with different grape variety. While in sparkling, I see that most of the wine drinkers, they tend to make things much similar. While, it's the same as in still wine. When you have different terroir, different grape variety, these are different wines. And here, you even have two different methods. So they are incredibly different. And that's the reason why with the Lunelli Group, we own two amazing brands, which are Ferrari is the leading brand for Metodo Classico Trento DOC, and we want to represent the elegance, the finesse, and the longevity of Trento DOC sparkling wine, and the high, which is the luxury sparkling wine from Italy. With Bisol, we want to represent something different, which is the style of the hills of Valdobbiadene, and the style of Prosecco Superiore, which is, you know, if Trento DOC is really about finesse and elegance, Prosecco Superiore is a very pleasant wine, aromatic wine, which needs to be more immediate. So, you know, these are two very different wines. Sometimes I like to compare the two wines as one, you know, Prosecco is more about being dressing casual. You can have beautiful casual clothes, but, you know, but you're still casual, and it has to remain a very casual wine, which people enjoy because it's immediate, it's pleasant. And then, obviously, even in casual wear, you can have, you know, amazing quality in your clothes, in the textile. This is what we want to do with Bisol. Trento DOC, which is a Metodo Classico, it's bottle fermented, it's different. It takes years of aging. This is more of a, you know, of a very elegant, smart clothes that you probably dress, you know, it's like a black tie. And you cannot ask to Prosecco to be a black tie clothes, you know. It's a different approach. It's more, but obviously the complexity that you can reach on with Metodo Classico and bottle fermentation is completely different. But, you know, I love both of these wines. Each one of these wines has their own occasion. And what I think that you know, we want to represent with Ferrari all the potential of the Trentino region and the mountain viticulture of Trentino, and with Bisol the expression of the unique style of Prosecco. Yeah. It's different, obviously. You know, then Ferrari is the history of my family, and it's historically the start of our group. But we love also the region of Valdobbiadene, which is a great expression of Italian sparkling as well.
So. We do tastings, and we actually compare Bisol, one of your Valdobbiadene Superior, versus Champagne in some of our tastings. And Champagne, as a lot of listeners know, is quite a yeasty, bready style of wine, whereas Prosecco is quite a fruity style
sure.
of wine.
Yeah.
And we don't tell them which one's which. We just do them blind, and they say, which one do you prefer? And it's about 50-50. Half them prefer Champagne, half them prefer Prosecco. And the thing is, I think I like your analogy of the clothes, because I'm more of a casual guy. Look, you know, you're quite suited and booted, and I've got a linen shirt on.
But sometimes I love to dress casual as well. You know, today I was a speaker in a conference here, and that's why I put the suit on. But you know, but I love as well to be, you know, to wear a beautiful pair of jeans and a t-shirt. And, you know, and that's why we all enjoy Prosecco. But, you know, for a woman, sometimes you want to, you know, a woman is beautiful with high heels and a beautiful clothes. And this is more about Metodo Classico. It's different. And, you know, I think the diversity of wine is the richness of wine. And that's the reason why we emphasize the diversity of sparkling wine in our Lunelli group. Probably, you know, for example, in the UK, Prosecco is much more well known than Trento DOC.
Oh, yeah.
We still have a lot to do in terms of promoting and establishing Trento DOC. But there is a growing interest to alternatives to champagne. We are very proud that, for example, there is a competition in the UK called the Champagne and Sparkling Wine World Championship. And it was organized by Tom Stevenson, which is a very well-respected wine journalist. He was probably considered one of the biggest experts on champagne, because he wrote in 1986 a book called Champagne, which is the Bible of champagne. Mm-hmm. And now he created this competition, and he puts sparkling wine from all over the world. Now, in that competition, we have won a lot of titles, like World Champion Blanc de Blanc. Last year, we were Sparkling Wine Producer of the Year. And this means that Ferrari and Trento DOC can be a world-class sparkling wine. So there is, I think what is changing is the attitude of opinion leader in recognizing that there is no monopoly of quality in sparkling wine. The excellence in sparkling wine is not only in France or in Champagne. Certainly, Champagne is a reference for the high end of sparkling. But then there are different regions. And as I said, for example, in Trentino, we are different because we are a mountain sparkling wine. We use the same method of champagne, but we are a different terroir and we have a different style. And with Ferrari, we are proud of our identity and tradition. Prosecco as well is a different wine with its own character and its own identity. And it can be an amazing wine and fantastic wine.
When did you guys start making sparkling wine in Trentino?
In 1902. So
over a century ago.
Yeah, it's a very long tradition. And the founder of our winery was Giulio Ferrari. This is where the name Ferrari comes from. He started, he was the first one to understand the vocation of the Trentino Mountains to create bottle fermented sparkling wine.
Is that when he brought Chardonnay into the region?
This is when he brought Chardonnay
into the region. Did he bring Pinot as well in at the same time?
No, he started with Chardonnay. He studied viticulture in San Michele Adige, and then he moved to Montpellier, and he spent some time in Champagne. So working in Champagne, he got to know the Chardonnay, and he learned how to make bottled fermented sparkling wine. And then coming back to Trentino, he brought the first vines of Chardonnay. And so this is how everything started. And nowadays, there are over 50 wineries that actually there are 50 wine wineries that produce Trento DOC. So from not only Giulio Ferrari started Ferrari Winery, but he basically created something that slowly developed into the Trento DOC, the denomination Trento, which is now made of over 50 wineries. Ferrari is the leading brand, but you know, we are proud to say that this has become really, you know, a denomination that is the excellence of the Trentino region.
Okay, one of the things you said last week was we talked about soils up there, and you said they're calcareous, which means limestone or a type of limestone. One of the key things about limestone, and one of the reasons it works for sparkling wines, is that limestone tends to big up acidity in the style of wine. You know, limestone's alkaline, and according to a lady I interviewed earlier, alkaline soils give you higher acidic wines, acidic soils give you higher or lower acidity wines, or higher alkaline wines, if you like. Do you look for calcareous soils, limestone or marl, that type of thing, or are you not so worried about that? Is it more about blending from regions, sub-regions?
We certainly, the limestone gravel is a characteristic that we like in our mountain vineyards, and because acidity is an important element for our Trento DOC sparkling wines. On the other side, it's also the diversity of Trentino with the different valleys and the different altitude is also a great element, because it helps us when we want to create the cuvée. We in our product line, in our portfolio of Ferrari, we have the Ferrari Brut, which is the non-vintage, and that's more about creating a cuvée and blending different terroir from Trentino. Because in the non-vintage, we want to have constant style and quality every year, so blending is very important. On the vintage, which is Ferrari Perlée, or on the reserve, that's a little bit different. For example, our Giulio Ferrari Riserva del Fondatore. Giulio Ferrari Riserva del Fondatore is dedicated to the founder of our company. Is the most awarded Italian sparkling, and it's a cru. So it comes from, it's made only with grapes coming from a single vineyard, which is a mountain vineyard that 500 meters above the sea level on the slope of the mountains close to the city of Trento. So that one is a single vineyard. So it's not about blending. It's about, you know, getting what we think is a unique vineyard, which has very distinctive style, which emphasizes the sharpness, finesse, and acidity that we want in sparkling wine for long aging.
You've got more of that calcareous soils there. Okay. And any other style of sparkling wines you guys make?
You know, in Ferrari has always been Trento DOC and always been bottle fermented sparkling wine created with grapes called.
No. Other styles. Like you said, you've got a cru and you've got a non.
Oh no, we have many other labels. We have the Perlée. We start with the non vintage, where we make Brut, Rosé, and Demi Sec.
Okay.
Then we have, the vintage line. It's called Perlée. Perlée was a name invented by Giulio Ferrari, and Perlée was recalling Perlenwein or the pearls. Perlenwein in German means sparkling wine, but also the pearl is an element that indicates preciousness and perlage recalls the pearl.
And also pearls come from oysters and fizz.
That's good. That's another good point. And so the Ferrari Perlée is our vintage. It's a blanc de blanc made only with Chardonnay. Then we have a Perlée Rosé, which is a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. We do Rosé with short skin contact. We even have a Perlée Nero. Ferrari Perlée Nero, it's made 100% with Pinot Noir. So it's very interesting, because with the Perlée, which is Perlée White, it's blanc de blanc, 100% Chardonnay, while the Perlée Nero, the Ferrari Perlée Nero, is 100% Pinot Noir vinified in white. So the line is pretty wide. We even have one, a small production of Perlet Zero. So Perlet Zero, which means pas dosé, we have zero dosage. So it's over a century, we have created different labels that wants to, fully represent the style of the Trentino Mountains.
Okay. One of the things about Champagne was when it first came out, it was a sweet wine, sweet fizzy wine. You said you've got a demi-sec. How does that sell compared to the brews and the drier styles? Well, demi-sec's not particularly sweet, but it's sweeter.
It's sweeter. Most of our product, most of our Ferrari, and most of our creations have very low dosage. We start from 2 grams per liter, which is extra brut.
Dosage is just where you add a little bit of sugar at the end just to balance everything up.
Yeah. The dosage is like a final touch, which is traditional on Metodo Classico or Metodo Champenoise. So we add very low dosage in general for our Ferrari. So it tends to be a very dry sparkling wine, both the Ferrari Brut, the Ferrari Perlet. Then we have a very small production of demi-sec, which we suggest as a nice sparkling wine to be paired with dessert or with panettone, for example. Mm-hmm. Now we are close to Christmas time. Traditionally in Italy you eat panettone at Christmas. Now panettone is sweet, and it's nice to be paired with a Ferrari Trento DOC, which has the acidity but also a little bit of a higher sugar dosage. Mm-hmm. But as I said, generally speaking, the style of Ferrari is dry, low sugar content, very low dosage.
Excellent. All right, then we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much, Matteo.
Thanks to you.
Cheers.